I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. You know, that's an eternal truth. It will never pass away. And we can firmly stand on that. If you turn your Bible to Romans chapter 1, read a few verses there. Romans chapter 1. When Brother Nicholson was here, and he was preaching, and he had listened to the word of God and being astounded, you know, this thought came into my mind. Did men in the past not know? Did they not know? There were so many things going on, and God was completely left out of the whole picture. Completely. There seemed to be nothing. I don't know, was it last night or was it the night before? I saw a picture of the ruins in Egypt along the Nile. I didn't care anything about the rest of it, but I looked at the ruins along the Nile. And there we saw temples. I don't know how many people it took, and most likely they were all built by slaves. And they were all built to worship some being. Imaginative or real, whatever it was. But none of them were built to worship the true God. And you know what? It keeps turning in my mind and turning in my mind. Did God not reveal himself to mankind? Why would man turn away and do things like that? I'm going to read from verse 19, 1 Romans 1:19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when the new God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's a harsh word, very harsh word. They became fools. They weren't born that way, but they became fools because they honored not the God of heaven, their creator, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and to birds and the four-footed beasts and the creeping things. This is what happened in the past. And we heard last Sunday night about Noah. Now we're sitting and enjoying every bit of it. I like to listen to the things that have been in the past. We have a record. It might not be in history books, but in the Bible we can find it very clearly. Noah walked with God. I'm not going to repeat what our brother said last Sunday night. But we find that Noah walked with God. And then he heard what the Lord told him. The God of creation. And you know, he recognized him as the one that was almighty. And you know, he obeyed God. When you can read the rest of it, that boat floated on the water, and he and his whole family were saved because they believed God. And how do I know that they did? Because they were alive. They stayed alive. The waters came and flooded the whole world. And they stayed alive. They believed God. Now we know that the Egyptian empire, it was a very, very strong empire. And the ruins of it will tell you, in history it will tell you. And then the Babylonian empire. And we find that there's many empires, the Persian empire, and the Roman empire. You know, they sprung up, and they were so powerful, they encompassed the whole world. But they built on what? On dirt. That's what they did. On their own self-achieving. Oh God, you don't have to tell me what to do. I can do it myself. I can do it myself. See, that's an idea that is totally wrong in the eyes of God. Totally wrong. And I say, the God that made heaven and earth, and that made man, and I often think about that. You know, man is made of clay. Think about that sometime when this coming week. And how many yards are there of blood vessels? How many yards of nerves? How would you get clay to get that in? But he made every bit of it of clay. That's what the Bible says. I can't understand it. And don't ask me to understand it. The doctors don't know. They're still probing and probing and probing. But God made man. He came from the hand of God. Wonderfully and fearfully made. And that thing that God made, the first thing that happened, he disobeyed him. He disobeyed him. And then it went on. And you find all these empires, they have fallen. That's all in the past. It's all in the past. Men are seeking for recognition. They want to be recognized. But they don't want to be recognized as an obedient servant, but they want to be recognized as a master. Look, God, what I can do. And I cannot see that. God couldn't allow that. Because then there would be no God. Then we would be God. And this is what man is striving. We don't want to be servants. We don't want to be servants. And we do not want to obey. Now, I don't have to go any further than here. In my own life. And how many times have I rebelled against God? It seems to be a natural thing, and we want to pursue that. I want to go my own way. And that's why they made images. Images. All kinds of images. And if you would see all the images, all of a sudden in a picture, and see this, the different ones, and stop and think a little while, you wonder, what are man's brains made for? You know Ruth Channon, most of you. That's the daughter of our dear brother here. And they went out for a visit there, and a brother brought back some pictures. And there I saw, made from concrete, a statue, you know, squatting on a piece of cement, and looking straight forward, and you look at that statue. It took a lot of cement to make that. And it would take, how much power would it take to move it? But man fall down before that statue and worship that statue. See, all these gods, they cannot help. They cannot help. It's a false thing. And that's why all these empires crumble. They're not with us anymore. But then look, recent years, in the last 70 years, And I can well remember, I've gone through the two world wars. And then when we look at some of the things that have happened, in the last 70 years, Israel has become a nation. Think about that. And it's been many, many years since they tried to get into their land and try to be established again as a nation and recognized as one. That has happened in the last 70 years. And then communism came up. Communism was to be the real answer to all this world's social, economical, and religious problems. Now, where is that now? Now, I've seen that. You've seen it. I don't know whether you pursued it, but that was my homeland where it was born, in Russia. So my homeland. And I've been very much interested in it. And where is it now? Did it work out to do what it was supposed to do? And then Hitler came up. Now most of you heard about Hitler, and he was supposed to bring in a new world thing that would heal all the problems of the world, a new order. What was wrong with God? Mr. Unruh, a man that my father knew well. He knew him well. He was a friend of Hitler. He was a spiritual advisor. And my father and Mr. Unruh, he lived in Germany, they were communicating through letters. And quite often he would get one, and he would write back. When Hitler came into power, then he said to Mr. Unruh, I don't need you and God anymore. I can do it on my own. My friend, he was going to bring in a new world order. Without God? No. You don't do that. Because history tells us it's impossible. It's impossible. All the Caesars and all the Pharaohs, where are they? Think about that. He was going to eliminate all the wrongs and create something new. Now again, the whole world, it seems, is involved in the achieving a peace. You know, we want to have peace in this world, don't we? And who doesn't want to have peace? I don't think there's anybody here that wouldn't want to have peace. I don't know how much you've seen a war, maybe in television, but have you been in a war? Have you seen it? It's just terrible. It's just terrible. No matter what anybody says. And man wants to see peace, peace, peace. They say they want to see peace, but there is going to be no peace. Because the Bible tells it very plainly. There's going to be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes. But we, who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. A peace that He has made for us. Oh, I'm very happy that I didn't have to make that peace. You know, there are some people, they ask, have you made your peace with God? Well, that's an impossibility. I couldn't have done it anyhow. It took somebody else, somebody better than me to make peace with God. But He made my peace for me. He paid the price and set me free. Oh, it is wonderful. How can it be? And then you are saying, coming for me, and that's what you're waiting for now. We You know, when you think of those that refuse to do what God tells them to do, think of the end. It's awful. It's awful. But there's been so many instances in the Bible. So let's turn to Luke. Luke chapter 6. And we'll read from verse 46. There it says, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here. The one that by whom all things were made. It says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Verse 47, it says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep, and lay the foundation on a rock, and when the floods arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Whosoever cometh to me, whosoever cometh to me. Right away, that phrase takes me back to John 3:16, where the Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, whosoever, he came to the right place. And you know, that same day, peace came to that house. That same day. Here he says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my faith. Now, God has always spoken. There was never a time that God did not speak in one way or another. You might not find it in history books so much, but you find it in the Bible. And the Bible is God's word, and it is truth. I don't have to doubt that. But God has always spoken to men. This morning, we heard about Joshua. You know, it was wonderful to hear about Joshua. But there was a man, he had all reason to go along with all the rest of them, didn't he? Get all the reason, the same people, and there were 12 spies, they all went in there, but they didn't all see the same thing. There were two of them, they didn't see it quite that way like the other 10. And why? You were in one group, and why didn't you see it? Because they did not believe what God had said. You see, they came out of Egypt, didn't they? They saw all the miracles. And this is what often stuns me. Had they not been there, it would have been a different story. But they were. They came out of Egypt, out of slavery. They were 20 years old when they came out. And they walked through the desert. And day after day, they didn't have to buy any food. They didn't have to pick anything off of a tree. Only what they needed for the day, they had to pick off the ground. Now, that was quite a hard job. But that's what they had to do, and it was sufficient. It was sufficient. And he gave them water. They didn't have to dig a well. He gave them water. He gave them shade in the daytime. He gave them light in the night. He didn't even have to have electric light. Their shoes didn't wear out. They saw it all. They were right there in person. And then God says, now you go go into that land and spy it out. And then they came back and they brought two reports. Two men said, let's get in here. God says you can take it over. There's nothing to it. If God is for us, we can make it. And the other said, oh, there's giants in the land. You could never make it. We're just like grasshoppers. So you heard that this morning. But I was wondering, why are men blind like that? Now Abram, we read right through scripture, Abram believed God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now Abraham did something that was totally against all men's decency. Wasn't it? God gave him one son, a promised son. And then God says, now you go and offer him up in a place that I will show you. Think about that. And I often wonder, if it would have been me, what would I have done? And it says he got up early in the morning, early. He took a servant, he took Isaac, and away they went to offer up a sacrifice. Abraham knew, Isaac didn't, until he was on the altar. And Abraham was ready to plunge the knife into his heart. And then God spoke, Abram, Abram, do thy son no harm. He heard the message, and what did he do? He obeyed. Did the Pharaohs not hear the message? Did they not see? Did they not know that there was a God that was much mightier than they were? And where were they? They're all gone. All these empires, think about it. Millions and millions and billions of people. They're gone. There's nothing left, just the history book. And some of the ruins, you can see them still all over. In Turkey and Palestine, all over the place, there are lots of ruins, lots of ruins. When they knew God, they honored him not as God. And that's the way it is. Now Abraham built a house upon a rock. Now in the Bible, a rock is very often referred to the Lord Jesus Christ. The rock Christ Jesus. And those that build on him, they will never perish. They will never perish. Now we heard about Elijah, that Saturday, when Brother Nicholson, just before he left on Saturday, but in the forenoon he was here and he was speaking about Elijah. But there was a man also, he built upon a rock. And it was interesting to listen, even those that built upon the rock, there will be discouragement. The Lord Jesus Christ said, in this world you will have tribulation. But be not afraid, because I have overcome the world. That's what he said. Elijah had problems, didn't he? When Jezebel was going to take his life, then he fled. Oh, then he fled. He wasn't afraid of the Ahab. But he was afraid of Jezebel. There were problems. But you know, that was all straightened out in the end. It was all right. You must realize that we are still in the world. And if we listen to God's word, it isn't that we're not going to have problems. But in the problems, we have one to carry us through. See, that is the difference. And Pharaoh didn't make it. If you read the story for yourself, you find that the children of Israel, they all moved right through that Red Sea. They moved right through to the other side. And when the left foot was on the other side, then the waters came back. But Pharaoh and his army didn't make it. There's a lesson in it for me. Those that do not do the will of God will not make it. And you cannot fake it either. You can't. God can see right through me, right through me. He can see it. And then there's one more character I like to refer to, and that's Joseph. Joseph. You know, in his early years, he had quite a number of brothers, and I don't know how many sisters he had, but there were quite a number of brothers, and apparently they all got the same teacher. Now, I presume that. I don't know. But usually in a household, unless the parents change over from side to side, unless the parents change, they will teach the whole family what they believe. And Joseph was one of them. He had the same teacher, and he lived in the same household as his brother. And of course, you know the story, how they started to hate him because he told them some of the dreams that he had. God revealed it to him, but his brothers didn't know it. But Joseph, he didn't doubt God. He didn't hate his brothers when they sold him into Egypt. And I don't know, he must have often thought about his parents, about his brothers. Maybe he prayed for them. We don't know everything about these things, but we know this much. That the God that he had learned to respect, the God that his father and his mother told him about, him he did respect. And he was a God to him that he truly trusted. And you know, when he came into that Potiphar's house, and there he was, he had to take over the whole household because he was faithful in the whole house. And then they had a problem there. He had a problem which very, very few people would have withstood. Very few. But there was something that was built upon a rock. The knowledge of God was right with him. And when the temptation came, then he said, how can I do this thing and sin against God? She didn't mention that woman's husband. She didn't mention that. But he said, how can I sin against God? And he fled. In this world, you shall have tribulation. It's not an easy thing to be a Christian, but it's the best thing. It's the best thing. Look at the end. Look at the end. If you can see that far. And if you're with the light or in the light, then you will see it. The end of glory, I was telling our brother this evening, what is going to be the end, we don't know. Because it's too glorious and there's no words to describe. There are no words. You know, when you read in Revelation, John tried to describe the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he has seen him. He had seen him. He was laid on his breast. He talked to him. Was a wonderful, wonderful Savior to him. A wonderful Lord. But when he tried to describe him when he was old and he saw him, he couldn't describe him. And the Lord said, fear not. Fear not. I am he that liveth and was dead. Fear not. You see, we have to look at the end. These men, they looked at the end. And they were rewarded. They were rewarded. Now you look at in Hebrews chapter 11, and you see all those heroes of faith. There wasn't a one of them, they didn't have problems. Not one of them. They all have problems. But in their problems, they had one to sustain them. And this is what is so precious, you see. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. In our problems, we have one that to sustain us. And the devil never does that. Never. He gets us into trouble and he leaves us. He is not a good shepherd. He is false. And all the things that Satan will bring into our life, it's all false. To lead us away from what? From the light. And John says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He's a wonderful truth. He's a wonderful truth. And we can all, every one of us, can carry that truth with us. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What is truth? The Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to know more about him, walk with him. Talk with him. Enjoy him. That's what it is. You remember our brother Matthew Pollock? I don't know whether some of you might remember him. He left a little note with me one day, and I thought I would read it to you. You'll have to excuse me because I might not read very fluently, but I'll try to read it to you. And the writing is this: truth never dies. Truth never dies. You know, it's a great comfort. It's a great comfort that if we follow truth, then we shall reach our heavenly home. For sure. Truth never dies. The ages come and go. The mountains wear away. The seas retire. Destruction lays earth's mighty cities low, and on empires, states, and dynasties expire. But caught and handed onward by the wise, truth never dies. Though unreceived and scoffed at through the years, though made the butt of ridicule and jest, though held aloft for mockery and jeers, denied by those of transient power possessed, insulted by the insolence of lies, truth never dies. Truth answers not. It does not take offense, but with mighty silence bides its time. As some great cliff that braves the elements and lofts through all the storm its head sublime, so truth, unmoved, its puny foes defies and never dies. I just encourage you, brothers and sisters, in all these troubles times, let's not forget that truth never dies. Things that are done as unto the Lord, they will stand. Though all these great dynasties have gone away, and they all crumble, but the truth never dies. So we pray. Our Father, how we thank thee that thou art truth, and that we can depend upon thee. The Lord Jesus Christ said, Ye call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I tell you. Help us that we in these coming days, we do not know short or long, that we would hold to the truth, that we would learn to know thee better, O Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, from day to day, and that we would learn to trust thee and obey thee as we ought to. And as we walk this pilgrim journey, that we would let our lights shine so that others would see and also have a desire to know thee as Savior and Lord. Prepare for our families, our friends, neighbors. We thank you for the mercy to them, and we just commend you to the loving care. Wherever thy word was read today and heard, we know it shall not return unto thee void, but we pray that the Holy Spirit would impart it to those that need it. There are many hearts that are hurting and bleeding and sorrowing. Many are afraid what tomorrow will bring, what is going on. We commend you to the loving care to watch over them and comfort them. We pray also for those that are in authority over us, that they would seek guidance from thee. Because we know those that do not seek guidance from thee, they cannot stand. We thank you again for that precious word that would speak to us. We meditate upon it. We be grounded in the truth, because truth never dies. And we thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.